CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yep, here we are, and we're ready to take you through a pretty chilly day. Apparently, this is an even colder week than last week, if anyone actually cares about that stuff, because some people do, and some people are very worried about how cold it is. Let me just adjust this camera a little bit so I'm not off to the side. So, what's happening? We've got Simpiwe, and we've got Bulelo, and you and me. I mean, you couldn't wish for more this morning, right? That's a good starting combo to get your day off to the right start. Apparently, I don't know if this is true, but this is what someone sent me yesterday, and I even put it up on my Instagram. I was so horrified. Alert! Intense cold front ahead. And then I promise I'll stop talking about the weather, because they say boring people talk about the weather. Here's what they say for Johannesburg this week. They say Monday, -1 to 16. Tuesday, 2 degrees to 16 degrees. So today's supposedly not that bad. 3 to 17 Wednesday. Then Thursday, listen to this, -3 to 7 degrees. And Friday, -5 to 9 degrees. Those are the weather forecasts for the week. Isn't that exciting for Johannesburg?
Sure.
Nice, Simpiwe. Yeah. Isn't that great? You look so happy about that.
No, I'm not. I'm not a winter person. So that just means, you know, I'm going to have my hot water bottle, be in bed. Ugh, the joys of winter.
People swear by these hot water bottles. Hey? I mean, people love those things. My grandmother used to have one of those. She thought it was the best thing ever. It's like an invention God made.
Yes, you have like this warm thing by you for like a couple of hours. And it's a bit safer than an electric blanket. I do have that as well, but hey, you know.
Those things are trying to save
electricity.
Those things are also, they're dangerous, hey? People leave them on all night, and then that's very bad for you, very bad.
Yeah, but you need something to keep you warm, you know, and especially as a single person. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have another human heater next to you, so.
Exactly.
You know, you buy like electric blankets, so, water bottles, you know.
I want to go straight on to something that made me so angry yesterday, and I have to discuss it with you two because I wondered what you'd think of this. And by the way, I put up this thing on Instagram, and then I get messages from people about the weather. People saying, please, what do you know about the cold? That's not cold. Like, Jesus, what hell do you live in where it's colder than that all the time? Ugh. People from New Zealand, people from Canada, people from Norway, they tell me, please, what are you complaining about? I'm like, yes, but I don't choose to live there.
Yeah, this is true.
Anyway, so I got angry yesterday. I was just going through social media, which I do, yeah, partly because I have to. It's part of what we do here, and we sort of have to know what's going on. But it's not my favorite thing to do, and I don't spend, I'll show you my screen time reports. I don't spend that much time on there. Anyway, I was going through all this stuff. And there's this girl that I know, and she's a sweet girl. There's nothing offensive or irritating about her. I promise you she's not the kind of person who normally you'd think, oh, like I did suddenly yesterday. But, you know, it sort of reminded me of those throwback Thursdays and those remember when things that people put up on Instagram where they're basically just boasting about their holidays that they've had that you haven't. That's really all it is. Like, Instagram created that, or it came about as a thing, because people wanted to show off how great their lives were without showing off how great their lives were. You know, they want it to be more subtle than it is, but obviously it's just boasting. This one, she puts up this picture of herself looking extra hot, right? I mean, it's like 90% of the body is her ass and her back and everything. And she goes, oh, I really miss my long hair. Can I please have my long hair back already? Oh, but actually, we all know what it is, right? We all know what she's doing. She found a hot picture of herself, and she wants to use an excuse to put it up. Now, I mean, the response to that post is to just say, well, grow your fucking hair. Why do we have to be involved in this, right? What is
that?
Yeah,
she is the definition of a thirst trap. Like, what? Like,
a thought.
You did that, girl. Shout out to you.
A thought.
She's no better than chicks that, like, put, like, a suggestive picture up on Instagram, and then they have a Bible verse, and then you're like, What's going on? I don't know. Like, are we praising the Lord or are we, you know, drooling over you? Like,
but this is the thing. Like, I just can't do it anymore. Like, maybe I'm a grumpy old bastard, and I'm happy to accept that that is the case because I am most of the time, especially during the week. Like, it bother me in the week. Over the weekend, maybe I'll be up for these games, but not Monday to Friday. And then I see this stuff, and I'm like, really? It's just so obvious. It's so transparent.
But is she a model? What does she do for a living?
Well, she's very attractive. I mean, she's got a great body. She has got great hair, and she's got a nice, tight little ass. And she's very – there's nothing wrong. She's not – you know, she's not that kind of person who you'd go, oh, not her. She's actually very sweet. But I saw this, and I'm like, really? Ugh. Anyway.
But my only issue is when people put up that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then they are shocked when there is negative and positive feedback.
Well, she's, like, she's going to get
that, you're
going
to put yourself
right
out there, yeah, do me a favor, you know?
She is going to get the negative feedback, too, and she must deal with it because that will happen.
Yes.
I mean, that's something you have to put up with. So, I mean, here, for example, Ntokozo says, do not discourage those people. That's the only reason he says that he's on Instagram. Those thirst traps are amazing. No one reads the caption nowadays. So, okay,
yeah.
Fine, fair enough.
Yeah, and what I'd hate for good-looking women to do is stop posting themselves, especially in lockdown. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think we should be encouraging that.
No,
we're not saying that. Just, you know, be true to yourself in what you're actually posting. Don't be posting something sexy with a Bible verse. Like,
yeah,
you got to pick one.
Maybe that's
yeah,
you're
and
gonna be
go,
because
I didn't even mean it like that. Oh, my word.
Don't get me wrong. I don't mind if like people who really work hard in their bodies or just look amazing because they were blessed with God-given beauty. I mean, listen, I'm an aesthete as much as the next person. That's not the issue. The issue I have is that she puts it up and goes, oh, my long hair. But it's not her hair at all. That's not why she put up that picture. It's like it's dishonest. Yeah. I don't like the dishonesty, that's all.
I'm with you.
Ugh, anyway, I mean, there's, you know, people are going to complain, and I'm going to be one of them. That's how I am. Here's some shit you should care about, okay? The Norwegian women's beach handball team is facing fines for wanting to wear shorts instead of bikini bottoms. The bottoms are not to cover more than 10 centimeter on either side, according to the International Handball Federation rulebook. For context, there is a picture, which I'll put up just now, of both Norwegian teams, the men's and the women's, and you'll see what I mean. I don't like the shorts thing. That's something we should care about, right? Why else watch the stupid volleyball? Am I right?
Is it volleyball or is it handball?
Handball, those handball, are, volleyball. Those are... What's the difference?
No. Because there's the demographic that plays handball is very, very different, especially in ladies. I've watched both. It is a whole. It's very different, especially as somebody who's into aesthetics.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me
show
you the picture.
Two different species.
I'll show you that picture. Let me just show you this. You'll get an idea of what I'm talking about, Willis.
Yeah. What you talking about, Willis?
No, exactly. So I'll show you the shorts in one picture, and then I'll show you them in the bikini bottoms in the other one. There's no doubt, obviously, that a man made that rule, right? No doubt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
God bless that guy, whoever he is. It's extremely important. These things matter, everybody, all right? I don't want anyone poo-pooing this stuff like it's not important. It really is. Let me show you these pictures. It takes me a couple of seconds to get them from... Yeah, I've just got to get them from the phone to the laptop and, you know, first I have to screenshot them. This was all on Instagram, so before you start saying, oh, what are you doing with all that stuff on your phone? It wasn't on my phone to start with, all right? Don't?
No, see, now that you're explaining it...
It wasn't. I just got it this morning. I'll show you now. Okay, so look at this.
Okay.
Anyway.
Nobody is.
I mean, this is a good rule. This is something we should care about, everybody. This is something we should be able to do something about. So I'll start off with the picture of the whole team in their official Olympic certified outfits. All right, here it is. This is what they're meant to look like. You can hardly see it there, but the girls are in the little bikini bottoms, right? And the guys are wearing the shorts with the sort of the vests. The girls have got these little boob tubes and everything. And then here's a picture of the shorts, which you see cover a lot more. That's not as much fun. See what I mean?
Sure.
It's important.
What you mean. It's important stuff, that. All right. While we're on social media, I saw Magic Johnson has a son, and he posted a picture of him and his wife and his son. They were in Miami together. Look at this. Now, he says, Cookie and I are so happy that our son, EJ, arrived. We are in the heart of the shopping district in Fort de Marmi. It might be in Italy. It might not be in Miami. Sorry, I read that last word and thought it was Miami. Now, the son is wearing, wow, how do we even start with that one? Simpiwe, any thoughts? While we're talking about people.
Okay. So what I can see is that it looks like a jumpsuit or a tracksuit, a matching tracksuit, but it's quite short.
It's got short
because
shorts.
It is summertime, yeah, right. With sandals.
But they go up to halfway up the calf at least. And he's got,
yes,
he's got that expression of mm-hmm girlfriend on his face. And I did not.
He's striking a pose. He has the one side to the side, as if, you know, he's like here for the gods of the poses.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what, like, it's he really looks like one of those guys, honey.
Yeah,
you know, space feet and everything.
That's the one. So we're not. There's nothing wrong with that, and we've never ever been homophobic in this show. But that's Magic Johnson's kid. Magic Johnson, who, of course, was the famous basketball player. He's become something of a political and a social and a sports icon since then. And his wife, who helped, you know, he was the one who the first one who survived HIV/AIDS very famously, right?
And he said he recovered from it.
Recovered from it, whatever. Anyway, there he is.
No. There's a cure.
As in, he was positive, and now he doesn't have. He's the first and only recorded case in the history of.
That's why he's exceptional. Species. What I'm saying is, he's exceptional.
There's a cure, guys. So that means there's a cure. You just don't have enough money to pay for it.
So that's Magic Johnson's son. Wow. So EJ Johnson, if you go to his official Instagram, I mean, he's wearing some pretty extraordinary stuff. EJ Johnson, go and have a look at that. You want to have a good start to your day. Louder and Prouder with Billy Porter, Zachary Quinto, EJ Johnson. So obviously they are, you know, he's doing a lot for the LGBTQIA+ community. And I did have to go through all of it. It's very, very good and extremely gay. Dresses like that all the time, says Pranola. So that is it. And someone, Dogozo again, who's full of beans this morning, says money is the cure to AIDS.
I'm with you.
Apparently, according to Mandia, he used to be on a show called The Rich Kids of Hollywood, EJ. So good for them.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a reality TV show. So
I must watch that. Because this EJ looks like he could demolish the closet door of any place. Any closet. Magic Johnson's cure is lots and lots of money. Good news for Africa. They're all saved, says Corona's boring. Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting thing to remark upon, because I've never seen EJ Johnson before in my life. Had you?
No. I mean, his father is one of the biggest superstars of all time.
Hmm.
You know, I would have, yeah. And his father's an extremely prominent man. I would never, ever have guessed that EJ would be like that, you know?
You've got to be so careful how you say these things, because people immediately interpret that as being, oh, you're so homophobic because you said like that.
No, there's nothing wrong with being fabulous. I don't know if he's gay. I mean, you don't have to be gay to dress like that.
I think he is
fabulous.
Fabulous is the right word. Yes.
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is fantabulous. But his father is like one of the sort of apex predators of our time. You know, like basketball beast, played with Michael Jordan, went toe to toe. I guess we shouldn't impose that on his kids.
No,
who are we to say? You know?
You never can. I mean, look at how great Tom Hanks is, but his son is a complete puss.
Yeah. That is the term. That is the old, good old Ched Bambakla talks.
That's how he talks. Ched
Bambakla. Why is he putting on a patois accent? Dude, you are lily white, bro. Come on, dude. Tom, like, his dad isn't a mailman. No. Your dad's Tom Hanks, pal. We know who you are. Like, just play. Let's all stay in that lane, you know?
Bulelo is insufferably superior. This is from a nice insult for you from Anthony. Anthony, are you sure he's not a coconut? You see, there we go. Have you dealt with that before? You want to deal with it again?
Anthony, you've hurt my feelings. I'm not too sure how my day will carry on.
Oh, no.
And that's not a... what do the kids say now? Oh, my safe space. You're affecting my safe space.
Right.
And that's not right.
Correct.
So
there we go.
You are emotionally guilt-tripping, you know, whoever. Wait, who said
Anthony,
that comment? Anthony, because he just vocalized some feedback, as you would say.
Right.
I'm happy for Anthony to have his feelings.
Well, here's some feedback for me this morning. Gareth, you are intelligent and have a good knowledge of worldly affairs, but you're not always right. Well, thanks, Errol. I don't know how I'm going to make it through the day now, not knowing I'm right. That's really going to get in my way. For example, how am I going to drive the car to this appointment I have at 9 o'clock?
Just don't turn right and right.
Yeah, that's probably how. That's very good advice. You see, Simpiwe, this is why we keep you on the show. Anyway. All right. Some other things that are going on that we need to talk about. Can we maybe, and I know by talking about this, I'm sort of ironically doing what I'm telling you not to. Can people my age please stop talking about the vaccine? I know that they've opened up registrations for people who are between 35 and 45 or 35 and 40 or whatever. Just stop it. Nobody cares. Like you guys were never under huge threat anyway. There are obviously a few people who died, but this is not interesting. And I don't care if you had your vaccine. Don't post your picture. Nobody cares. We are all burnt out with compassion. I told you this before. No one is that interested in your journey. No one. And the fact that you post yourself getting a little injection that millions, if not billions of people by now have had is no big deal. It is not interesting. It does not mean you're part of some wave of people who's changing the world for the better. I'm just not interested. I could not be more bored than to hear about your corona story or your vaccine story. Please shut up about it. I've kept in the reserve tank a little bit of sympathy and care for those people who've actually lost someone. But if you've just had coronavirus and you've survived, I know this hurts your feelings, Mbulelo, because you've been a survivor and you made a big deal about this. Don't come to me with that story. I don't care. I do not care if you're alive right now and you have COVID or had COVID. I do not care. Not interested. Simpiwe, you're nodding your head. Do you feel the same way, right?
Yeah, I'm a bit over it. There's been a bit too much of COVID talks, and I'm not there. Like, I've already made up my mind, so it's like, I'm not going to get the vaccine, but like, if you do it, great. Yeah. But I don't need to know how you feel and how it was, unless you are on your deathbed. But yeah, I'm not here for it. So
just, Bulelo, just check my levels there, because a lot of people are saying my sound is much softer than yours and Simpiwe's. So I don't know how that works. Because I just adjusted it now, but it should be, you know, there's like Sean and Charles and everybody saying, your sound is crap. So I don't know what I'm doing. I've just adjusted it on this side and it seems fine.
Okay.
Fat Pig says, fuck the vaxxers. Sure, Fat Pig, that's nice of you. Sure. All right. Very good. I don't even care if you want this or you don't want this. Don't make a thing of it. Please, you know.
Like the first thing people ask now when they meet each other and is, oh, have you had COVID yet? Like,
have you had COVID? Yeah. Nobody cares.
Why does that matter?
No. What do you care? Nobody cares.
Are you a scientist?
Well, it's an icebreaker. You know, the times that we live in, it's a, you know, icebreaker. Because then people get to share their stories and get to also be like, oh my gosh, you won't believe my symptoms. You know, I had no taste, no smell. And then the other person would be like, oh my gosh, I was so fatigued. And then the other person is, it's a,
you know what I start? I start hearing. The minute you start talking about that shit, I just tune out. Can't handle it. Please shut up. Shut up. Fine. What did you talk about before Corona? Probably
life.
No, I don't think
the weather.
Those people used to talk about the weather, and they still do. They stick Corona and the weather are their go-tos. Now listen. I understand that this is happening, right? I understand it is the number one social, economic, and political concern of any person who's paying attention to anything. but we can't keep talking about it. And the fact is, talking about it isn't going to give me any new knowledge, because you're not an expert, neither am I. Frankly, the experts aren't even experts at this point, because they don't know what's going on. Don't tell me about your vaccine. And then I turn on the TV last night, and they've got this, you know, Sally Burdett, who's like our, she's our version of Kay Burley in South Africa, right? She's on ENCA.
That's not fair. Kay Burley is...
terrible.
No. Yeah. Sally's just Sally being around for a long time.
Well, Sally's... Okay, so maybe she's slightly better than Kay Burley, but she's our version of that. Anyway, she's on and she gets all excited. She's like, and now I'm going to hand over to Michael Merilia, who's that small man who does the thing with a big screen, right? Anyway, he's put this thing together because he's... You can see he's in my generation, right? So he's put up this thing with, like, the A-Team and MacGyver and Lionel Richie music and shit from the 80s. And he's made this whole, like, compilation of 80s stuff to show that this generation are now going to get the vaccine. And he called it – let's just look this up because I actually wrote it down. It was so stupid. He called it from A-Team to V-Team. So A-Team meaning like this show that was on when we were kids, and the V-Team being the vaccination team. And he's saying, oh, this is great because that generation are leading the way in showing how the coronavirus and the vaccine can be beaten. And it was the most crap thing I've seen on TV for ages. Oh, it was so bad. So bad. Oh, it's so rubbish. Makes me want to throw up in
now,
my mouth.
While we're doing the vaccine thing, why don't people just get the vaccine so we can get back to normal? Because don't make it about you. Don't worry. You're fine. Like, you are fine. You're not going to grow a third arm.
How about we all just leave each other alone? How about we start to assume that people actually can be responsible for themselves? And if you don't assume that about other people, then all you have to do is protect yourself against them. Which, if you care about these things, get the vaccine for you. Stop worrying about everyone else. None of your business.
You've put me in a trap there, because nothing about what I'm seeing with people's guts in the street tells me they can look after themselves. So I'm not happy to leave people to their own because they can't.
Too bad for you. Too bad for you. You have no authority and no sovereignty over other people in Bulelo. So just stop right now.
No community. No community. We mustn't raise
standards
by living in community.
You don't have the right to tell someone else what to put inside their body or not. You don't. You just do
but
not.
But that's how community works. That's almost
no,
like saying,
doesn't.
I'm
no.
out now. Then, we've decided murder.
No.
Murder is bad. That's a community standard.
Those people don't have to. They might as well carry on with their day. It's not going to affect you in any way. What are you talking about, the community? What do they have to do? They have to wake up in the morning. They have to wake up in the morning thinking about you.
No. Okay, fine. Those same people don't complain when we can't get back to normal, because you can't control the fact that
now that's a threat. So that's a threat.
Ready.
That's a threat. Either you do what I say, or things will be horrible for you forever.
No. You have the choice is either you get the vaccine and we get back to normal, or don't get the vaccine and don't complain, and we're going to have lockdowns with Cyril rolling it out for the
see,
next
that
few
sounds
years.
Like a threat.
I know that's the reality. I'm telling you what's going to happen. You don't have to like what I'm saying. I'm just telling you what's going to
happen. Don't you see that what you've just said now does exactly the opposite of motivate people to go and get the vaccine?
But is that what's going to happen?
Let's also remember,
right? If we don't get the...
Let's also remember what happened yesterday in the UK. So it was Freedom Day in the UK. They actually had the cheek to call it that, right? Where people were allowed to actually do what they want instead of have the government give them permission. And Boris Johnson announces yesterday, we mentioned this in the news yesterday morning, that he's going back into self-quarantine. Now, this is a guy who has not only had the coronavirus, very famously had it right near the beginning, and we thought he was going to die. Because he's fat and untidy and probably smells a little bit. He also had the vaccine. Two jabs of the vaccine. And was completely immunized against the vaccine. Now, I know that there is a small chance that you can still get the virus. That's why he's gone into isolation. Because they're all terrified of that small chance. So what is he doing by saying, even though you've had it and you've got the vaccine, in other words, you've double-checked. And any person in science will tell you that seems like a little bit over the top. If you've had it already, chances are you're already somewhat immune. You're not dead from it, right? Your body's learned to cope with it. Second thing is you've had the vaccine, so your body's had another chance to learn to cope with it. And perhaps another strain has learned to cope with that too. But now you're telling people all of that is for naught. Because even if you get the vaccine, you must still isolate. I did have a short interaction with my health secretary. Now I have to go into complete isolation for 2 more weeks. That's the way we've got to do things. And now I've got to get my vaccine passport for my 612th jab. So actually what you're saying is horseshit, because after you've had your vaccine, then they're going to say, well, you need to go for 2 more vaccines, or you need to go for this, or because they're always going to try and make sure that they get 100% of the people 100% safe, which is impossible. That's what we talked about yesterday. There's no such thing as safe. So what the hell? What are you talking about?
So this is my point completely. You've just gone off. You've gone completely left. I've never said vaccines are going to make us safe. I've been very clear. Vaccines are not a cure.
So then,
all I care about is open the bloody restaurants.
Yes, I agree with that.
If the only way these cretins are going to do that is the vaccine, let's all play the game. And if they don't, then let's take our guns, which a gun-free SA won't take away from us, to the parliament, right? Isn't that the game?
I don't see the point. If the politicians are behaving like the vaccines don't make any difference, what's the point?
Yeah.
So
you're thinking even if all of us got vaccinated, they'll find another way to keep us in prison.
They'll find another reason. They're enjoying this too much because for them it's
okay. Fair enough.
Make themselves important in our lives. So we've both ended up at the same point in the road now. Thank God. Took a while, right?
No, I still think you should get the vaccine. You haven't changed my mind on that. Yeah.
Simpi was sitting there going, oh, because we've ended up doing exactly what I said we shouldn't do.
I'm sipping on water, listening to a conversation.
So Daniel agrees with you. He says Mbulelo's right. We are being coerced into getting vaccines. Gareth, you're right. This is the start of much more to come in terms of international government. Yeah, well, this is it. Don't tell me what to do. Just leave me alone. I don't want Cyril or that crook Zweli Mkhize or Boris fucking Johnson or Joe Biden or Dr. Anthony Fauci telling me what to do. I'm perfectly healthy. I'm better off. I'm in better health than any of those fuckers I just mentioned now. Any of them. And I know exactly what I'm doing with my body. Thank you very much. I've had it for 40 years. Shut up. Stay out of my life. All of you. Get out of my... Get out, government. Autistic screeching. That's how it goes.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. Yeah.
Right. So, and also, just if you're in your 40s or in your late 30s and you're posting pictures of yourself getting vaccinated, you have just got nothing to say, have you? Nothing to say. So, rather say nothing. Anyway, Errol says there will never be another movie star or singer that will be as popular as Elvis Presley was and still is. Oh, for God's sake, Errol, what kind of thing is that to say? I mean, Michael Jackson tried his backside off and Madonna tried, and she's still trying. And how rude of you, Errol, to not give them credit where it's due. I mean, look at poor old Ariana Grande. She's shaking her ass out there on the stage, working hard. And all you care about is Elvis Presley? You selfish man. Selfish, selfish man. What a terrible thing to say on a Tuesday morning. I can't believe you, Errol. You should be ashamed. Have you never heard of Whitney Houston or Diana Ross? You son of a bitch, Errol.
Errol, huh?
Please.
What about Miley the Wrecking Ball?
This is funny. Fat pig says sheep. So, not sure. There's a lot of farm animals in that comment. Too many for me to handle. I don't know about you. Shame, I see that the dome in the north of Johannesburg, the northwest of Joburg, is closing down. The dome, that marvelous place.
It's closing down.
No, they're shutting it down. Well, I mean, it's an event venue. What events are they having?
They sold it.
No, I think it's shutting down. They're actually not. It's gone.
They didn't sell it. Oh, wow.
Ticket Pro Dome. Oh, and what are they going to do with it? What do you do with the dome now? You know, it's finished. Did you ever go there?
Of course.
Yeah.
Plenty of concerts.
I've seen quite a few concerts there, yeah.
Yeah, Rage.
And it's also a great space for, like, expos and stuff, so... Shame. I'm actually heartbroken. Oh, man. That was, like, you know, such a vibe. I mean, it was, like, one of the the places that a lot of artists wanted to perform at because it could actually, you know,
could accommodate,
host so many people. Yes, and now that's shutting. And
it had the most,
I don't know where else they're going to perform because they can't come to Carnival all the way to the East Rand.
I went to so many concerts.
I wouldn't go to the East Rand ever.
I wouldn't go to the East Rand with your money in your car.
The East Rand has a vibe, okay? So, I don't understand why you're hating on the East Rand. It has a vibe.
I don't like the West Rand either, but you can mostly avoid the criminal gangs on the West Rand. Mostly on the West Rand, it's just inbred people who tie their children to the fence. But in the West Rand, it's, you know, you can navigate past them. It's larger properties, more burning stuff in their front yards than actually burning stuff on the street, like in the East Rand, you know? Anyway, I mean, apparently it was sold by the Sasol Pension Fund, but it's still sad, right? Because if you're in the events business, like there was something about that place. There were so many concerts that I saw there, so many great performances. I'm going to be a little bit upset if they... I hope they're not going to demolish it or anything. There'll be some use for it.
It'll be interesting if it, like, gets turned into a church and then, like, that's where people... I'm just saying it would be interesting.
Sure.
What kind of church? We've yet to find out, but it would be.
We know exactly what kind of church.
You know who I would go and see?
Bushiri.
No, Bushiri, no. He's got some current travel problems and whatever. Not him. We moved on.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it Joel Osteen? My guy Joel Austin, I would pay for a ticket to go and see that scamming son of a biscuit any day. I would love to go and see that.
He's
going to
give you motivational talks.
Oh, guys, can we just, before we go on to Joel Osteen, because I also want to beat up on him. I hate that guy more than you could possibly imagine. In fact, he is one of the few people in the world who I would really like to see covered by a landslide. From a particularly rocky mountain, not a sandy one, a mountain where the landslide will, as it destroys your house and wipes you off the face of the earth, it will hurt as well. That's how I want it to be for him, Joel Osteen. Those big teeth and that huge chin that looks like he's almost got gigantism. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with that man? Anyway, but we've got to move on. And the things that we're going to move on to are some of the headlines that we have in the news this morning. So the first headline that I want us to pay attention to is about our friend Duduzane Zuma. Are you ready? So you remember he put out that video last week, this rocket scientist. I just want to point out to everybody who thought Duduzane Zuma was going to be the next president of the country. I'd like to just point out to you that this guy is such an amateur and he's such a hack at this. And he's so bad at this. He has not got an ounce of the talent, the political nose that his father has, right? Not a thing. And he says that last week when he told people to loot responsibly, what he meant was, you know, people took him out of context. Because when you say loot responsibly, he really meant something very different to what people thought he meant. In other words, you got it wrong, not he's a bad communicator. He says,
so what did he mean?
Well, he says, first of all, I don't have a social media account. Yes, but you've got people who are spreading your shit around like fertilizer. And he says to Newsroom Africa that he disagreed with sentiments that he instigated the unrest. Oh, I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that the investigation is getting closer and closer to you. You might end up in jail after all. I wonder if that's part of it. So he says, that's the furthest thing from the truth. And if you look at my history and what I stand for, that is contrary to my belief and my value system. Let's try and remind ourselves what Duduzane Zuma stands for. Enriching himself to the tune of a couple of hundred million, maybe even some billion. Living mostly in Dubai because you're afraid of being arrested. Driving over some poor person. Remember he did that? He drove over a person or he hit a person with his car or whatever. He ends up being found not guilty of, you know, culpable homicide or murder, but he still hit a person with his car.
Drunk. We must remember he was drunk.
As I recall, drunk as well. Yes, good point. And he was in a Porsche and this person had just got out of a taxi. So you see how much he cares for the community. And he says, if you play the entire clip, you'll understand what I was trying to say. He said he made an 11-minute and half-second video clip. And he said it was recorded 3 or 4 days into the eruption of the unrest. There's obviously a lot about me and my participation that is happening in the country right now. A lot of finger pointing in my direction. Then why did you put out the video, douchebag? If it had nothing to do with you, why are you putting out videos in the middle of all of this? Why are you making
why
it
Why did
worse?
You make it? He why should, did you make it at all?
He should be arrested and his social media should be shut down completely. Whatever social media he has. Sorry.
That's I'm it. Just still stuck on what did he mean? Like if you didn't say loot responsibly, what?
How else do you interpret that, Simpiwe? How else do you make sense of loot responsibly? Yeah, you have a go at that. Let's see what you can come up with.
I'm trying to what was he using reverse psychology? No, I'm just trying to understand. Like, was he like, no, guys, like what I'm actually saying is don't loot. No. You know, don't do this. But because people do what they're not supposed to do. Loot responsibly. Excuse me, sir. Like, what did you say? What did in your mind? What did you mean? Because clearly, what came out of your mouth is not the same thing.
He obviously isn't as intelligent as people said he was. You know, you can sound intelligent, but you might be really stupid. I think that's the case for him. He's quite, he's quite thick.
Yeah. Maybe you know what he sounds like. He sounds like one of those people who, if he got caught cheating, he wouldn't be sorry that he cheated. He would be sorry that he got caught.
That you got caught, yeah.
You know what I mean? Those people that aren't... he's just
not
scrambling
very,
up.
Not very bright.
To Dubai, man. Just go and enjoy your money.
Go and enjoy our money in Dubai and get the hell out of this country. Mm. You're doing nothing to help.
Yeah.
And also, he's blown his load now. He has nothing else to give, right? This was his moment to shine, and there's nothing... Like, after this, who's going to go, we definitely need some more of him because he showed such leadership and strength during that crisis.
We have a country to rebuild.
Loot responsibly. It's like, what, did you hit your head? Yeah. You hit your head really hard on the Nkandla wall as you walked out of the homestead the other day. I mean, did you bump your head on the overhanging beam? What happened to you, idiot? Anyway, so, I mean...
You know what he should do? He should drain his sisters and just, free Zuma.
Oh, Jacob Zuma. Jacob Zuma.
Yeah, people
they
are just, Jacob Zuma. People
yeah,
used to,
they
people,
should just... come together.
People used to say that that Jacob Zuma was stupid. He's not. His children are, but he's not stupid. He's really not. His kids are much dumber than him. That's a hell of a thing to say, because his kids had more education than he did. See, sometimes education can't make a person who's just genuinely not very gifted any better. That's the sad reality. Like, some people are uneducable. They can't actually get better if you expose them to the software, because the hardware is not good. You know, if you've got a really old, slow computer that goes and has a very, very old processor in the middle of it, motherboard, you can put all the best programs in the world through that computer. It's going to operate very badly. Education is the software. The hardware is damaged. Sorry, it's not going to work. Anyway, a lot of people are talking about me and the vaccine, which is boring, but I did see this from Andre. He's making a prediction. He says, Gareth will get vaccinated before October. I've said it before. There's no controversy here. I've been completely consistent every step of the way. If I need to be vaccinated to travel, I will be. But I feel like I had it already last year, and I probably don't need the vaccine. So let it go to you, Andre, with you, because you look like you need the vaccine. Seems to me like you're crying out for it. And people like you could die if you get coronavirus. I won't. So, good luck. I'll give you my dose, all right, until I'm ready. And until they tell me that I need it in order to travel. I see Boris Johnson, speaking of him, bozo, he says last night in a press release, because he's now isolated, so he's in number 10, and he's been pinged by the early warning system, and he's sitting in his office with his hair all a mess, which is exactly how it is when he leaves his office. So Boris in isolation looks as disheveled as Boris not in isolation. And he goes, what we're going to do is everyone over the age of 18, if you want to go to nightclubs, you shall have to produce your vaccination card. You have to show that you've been vaccinated fully, otherwise you won't be allowed into the nightclub. And I thought, uh-oh. Do you know how many people under the age of 18 have been getting into nightclubs, Boris, you moron? You don't think people can get a fake vaccination card if they can get a fake ID? What's wrong with you?
Haven't they started with those? That's a business opportunity waiting to happen.
I guarantee you, in this country, in South Africa, you probably already buy fake vaccine cards from just about anyone. There's a bunch of guys somewhere in Hillbrow who are busy printing these things left, right, and center. So this is the problem with people who believe in governments, people who really think governments are the solution and that they can solve all the problems. and the bigger the government and the more money they have, the more of their problems, your problems, they can solve. They can't, though, because the bigger and more unwieldy they get, the harder it is for them to actually do the things that matter. The only government that matters is the local government, and those people never have money. Anyway, let's see what happens. It's very exciting. So Boris Johnson, he reckons he can make kids get the vaccine cards if they want to go to nightclubs. All right, there's some other news, but it's not as exciting as the Duduzane Zuma story, so I thought we'd go straight to that. But Jacob Zuma, while we're talking about the Zuma family, is entitled to compassionate leave so that he can attend his brother Michael's funeral. And he appeared yesterday very briefly in front of a judge because he's still trying every avenue. With our money again, I have to point out, with our money, he's using every avenue he can to get out of jail. Just, I don't mind it. Like, obviously, you're entitled to do that with your own money, but not with ours. Okay?
Are regular people allowed to leave their prison sentence for a funeral?
Yes. I don't know. Yeah, they are. Yeah. So it's not unusual. Okay. Yeah.
So what happens? The police escort you to the funeral and take you back?
Yeah, how correct. You go in oh, cuffs. Wow. Yeah, yeah. You can stand there in cuffs. It's all very dignified.
Yeah. No ignominy at all.
No. No.
Wow.
All right. So let's turn our attention to something a little bit more urgent and pressing. And when we talk about the African continent, it's always urgent and pressing. We've got to talk about Mozambique. We've got to talk a little bit about Tunisia. And we're also going to find out about Ethiopia, because all of these are big stories. And JJ Cornish is our man on the ground in Africanalysis, a bi-monthly feature which is brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School. And we look at what's going on the African continent. He joins us from Pretoria. JJ Cornish, how are you? JJ? Allô? Bonjour. JJ? No. Not there. Well, we'll see if we can get him just now.
Okay, we'll get a hold of him.
I set that up so beautifully, and then it all just fell flat. That's like when you say, here she comes. Oh, there he is. There he is. Monsieur Cornish. Bonjour. Now we can't hear him.
Oh.
So we can see him now. We're making steady progress, but we can see him. We just can't hear him. Simpiwe, do you want to just log off and see if you can sort that out? Don't worry. Bulelo and I will continue to entertain. Let's do a little dance and, you know, some whatever we have to do to keep people entertained in the meantime. Loot responsibly. Here's a point made by Stink Mina ZA. I love these names. Loot responsibly is probably the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Yes. No, it's it is one of the Zuma 2021. What do you think that guy's going to do? He has to move to Dubai, because, I mean, if we... without getting on a soapbox, is, chief...
Not move.
We
flee.
Have a country to rebuild.
Flee
yeah,
to Dubai.
We have a...
No.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have a country to rebuild. Those of us, especially those of us who are choosing to stay here,
yeah.
We have a country to rebuild. Just get out the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you with your race baiting and get out the way,
because
us black, Indian, white South Africans,
yeah.
Chief, we have a country to try and rebuild. We have about 50 years before some of us die. We'd like to maybe just get on with that.
Well, I mean, you even made the point in the notes last night while I was just looking through what you wanted to talk about on the show this morning. Maybe this is an appropriate place to bring it in, is that you say we've got 5 months of this year. Let's do something with it. We don't want to get to the end of 2021 and say, oh, that was a write-off of a year. I think that's such a good point. We got like... just under half the year is still ahead of us. Let's put that to use. Let's do something with it.
Yes. I mean, obviously, those in KZN, again, I'm not going to do the we are together thing. They're going through real stuff.
Right.
All I'm saying is the rest of us are South Africans who are in the middle class and upwards, who are like you, Gareth, you're a business owner. Let's use the rest of this year to relay
things.
The foundation, right? We still have 5 months, guys, to go and rebuild this year. And forget these clowns, and let's rebuild, and I hope we can, man.
I hope you're right. Let's try again. JJ Cornish, good morning. No. For some reason, we're just not getting his microphone. I mean, I can see him. Yeah, he looks resplendent this morning. I mean, let's just, I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, I mean, we'll try again. So Carl jokingly says, we must start a crowdfunding campaign to fix JJ's internet. It's like this. Yeah, my God. Then Andre says, watch the Zuma family peg one by one, so that Mr. Schauerkopf can get out every day. So they'll actually, like, they'll volunteer to die so that he can get out and spend some time on the outside. I could see that happening.
And by the way, black funerals take about 3 weeks to plan because, and I'm just going to speak to from close to, it's a whole week of planning. Then they're grating carrots for about 3 weeks. I tell you the secret. If you ever get invited to a black funeral, you don't want to be there on Friday because you're going to be forced to grate carrots, Gareth. Go on a Friday.
Really? It's great carrots?
Oh, they're great through the night. Through the night, carrots. The carrots never stop being grated. Just through the night. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then only we go to the funeral.
I love that. That's awesome. All right. Well, while we're waiting for JJ, just one other quick thing I want to throw in here. You remember last week I spoke about the scam with the puppies where I was going to get my parents' puppies and I paid for them online and then it turned out to be a big scam. Well, I was contacted by a listener of ours, someone called Karine. And Karine sounds like she is a no-nonsense, hardcore human being. And Karine is a private investigator. And she's going to help me track this guy down. Oh, yeah. No, she's the real deal. She was a female bodyguard. Yeah. She's a female bodyguard in her previous life. And she is she's a private investigator. She has contacts all over the place. She's going to track this guy down via the bank accounts, his phone numbers, the email addresses, everything. She's going to find him. And she's gonna go and get us to knock on his door. I'm gonna be so excited to do that because you know what? Frankly, Karine is the type of person who I want on my team permanently. You know, if someone says something on social media that's just like really stupid and dangerous, not the kind of dumb stuff that you usually get on social media, but if someone says something like, you know, Gareth Cliff is stealing people's money, then I can find out who that person is, even if they've got an anonymous account, and go to their door. I spoke to Dineo Ranaka a while ago about this, and she and I were ready to fund a social media investigation team, which would go and find anonymous people on the internet who were throwing around dirt and actually have them charged. Do you know how valuable that? Because ordinary people get this too, right? Your ex goes online and she mouths off about you, and there's no recourse for that. Or someone who had a problem with you 3 years ago suddenly comes out of the woodwork and says, "Oh, you know, 3 years ago this person shortchanged me by 20 rand, and they're a cheapskate," and then they ruin your reputation online. We should be able to find those people and take action against them because you can't do it on social media. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. It would be, oh my goodness, I would pay all of your money, Gareth, and someone else's. Obviously, I wouldn't spend all of my own money.
No,
but
imagine, I mean, like Danae was saying, the best part of this is you make a reality TV show out of it. So what you do is you go to that person's house. If someone's been saying, you know, Dineo is such a slut. I saw her with this guy and this guy and this guy. But he's living in his parents' basement or whatever. You go to the house because you find out where he lives. You get an investigator and you go to the house and you film the moment that you open the door and there's Dineo and she goes, "Hi, I think you were saying some things about me." And you watch this pathetic person wither away in front of you. That would be good.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
Let's try. Hello, JJ Cornish.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Perfectly. That's marvelous. You have no idea how good that feels. So, JJ, first of all, everybody's saying that we need to come to your house and redo your internet for you because obviously, you know, that's the problem.
You know, I say to you what you say to the government. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I've been in this house for 20 years. It's pretty cool.
You know,
the last
JJ.
Time, I've been listening to you for 40 minutes, and I wanted in a short sentence to sum up what you were saying about Jacob Zuma's children, the uneducable.
Yeah.
Well, the simple line on that is, you can't polish a turd.
Spot on. You know what? That's why.
There's nothing you could do.
You just did in a 30-second clip what I took 20 minutes to say. So you see, JJ, this is why we need you on the show every week. You're succinct, you're to the point, and you know what you're talking about. So let's get to the things that you want to talk about for this morning. There's a lot happening on the continent. This is brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School, and it's called Africanalysis. JJ Cornish is here to share with us his insights into in this case, Mozambique. Let's just talk about Mozambique for a second, because we've been so obsessed with our own affairs here in South Africa for the last while, and justifiably so. But right across the border, we know that there's a huge degree of instability. And there are lots and lots
there
of lots of Mozambicans who are in a very, very sad situation, especially up in the north. I mean, essentially, there are terrorists who are busy making it ungovernable there. What's the latest story from Mozambique, and what's the latest situation report from there?
Well, we had the SADC troika, you know, on politics, security, and they said we should send, or they agreed to send a stabilization force from SADC. Now, the pledges were made, but in fact, the what they call the troop agreement was not signed in time. The status of forces agreement wasn't signed in time for the troops to get there by the 15th. In fact, the Rwandans arrived, and they're not members of SADC, and that terribly much unsettled the South Africans and other members of SADC. What is going to happen is the South Africans will lead this operation, they're going to go and look, and if the security situation is adequate, they might not send a full brigade, and that's the situation. But now we have Nozifiwe Mapisa Ngakula, who, can you believe what she says? Well, not if you believe our president.
Either her or
this
Cyril,
wasn't
right?
an insurrection. No. But she's saying, you know, this is the problem. We should be there, but we're not because haven't signed the force agreement. The thing is, of course, our troops are now busy with Operation Prosper, 25,000 of them. When, you know, for every boot on the ground you put somewhere else, you need three or four back home. And we just don't have that sort of number.
But JJ,
so it's very sad.
JJ, what you're telling me is that these are bureaucratic bunglings. The people of Mozambique are no better off, despite all the promises and goodwill in the world, because of bad bureaucracy, decision making, and processes that are not followed properly. This is the kind of thing that, you know, people are dying because politicians aren't doing what they promised.
Starting with the Mozambican politicians, Felipe Nyusi, he wasn't terribly happy about getting anybody in. Nobody's happy about inviting other troops into your country. But here he is. He's now having training from the European Union, and the Rwandans are there, 1,000 of them to help. But South Africa has always said, we can't go in alone. This is too big a job for us. But we have to go in as part of a regional force.
Right.
And once this is agreed, these South Africans are still not there. Now, does this mean that Operation Prosper is going to slow that factor down? How is that going to affect it? This is bad news, I'm sad to say, for the people of Cabo Delgado, because the group who call themselves ISIS are still operating there, and the international efforts to get them out haven't worked, and that's very, very sad.
So, JJ, what's happening in Tunisia? Because that's a place we haven't spoken about since the Arab Spring, with one or two exceptions here and there for migrants who are trying to cross the Mediterranean to get to greener pastures in Europe. But Tunisia generally is not the place that comes up regularly in our discussions about Africa, right?
What an interesting little country sandwiched between Libya and Algeria, rough neighbors, eh? And of course, a country that plays the game. It really does punch above its weight. Tunisians, you say to them, you're Arab? Yep, we're Arab. You're African? Yep, we're African. And we're also North African, as it happens. And we're just practically just a little bit of sea between us. We're just about Europeans. So in all the international games they play, I've got a lot of time for the Tunisians. Now, they are making real inroads into fighting the jihadis. And, of course, there were the attacks at the museum in Tunis, in the capital, and then at the beach resort where there were dozens of foreigners killed, Brits particularly. Mm-hmm. Tunisia relies absolutely on tourism revenue, and it was closed off as a tourist destination. Well, it's no longer on the list of countries, on the blacklist of countries from the Financial task force, internationally task force established by the G7, because it's managed to tighten control over the porous borders that it has.
Yep.
It's degraded the ability of the cells affiliated to Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb and ISIS, and it's dismantling these terrorist cells. So it's done a lot of work there. Unfortunately, it's not doing terribly well on COVID, and yep. It's one of the countries, along with South Africa, Namibia, Uganda, Zambia, accounting for 83% of the COVID cases in Africa. And, you know, of course, the Delta strain making particular inroads there. What they've done in Tunisia is draft the military in on vaccination duty. And they're getting help from China, France, Turkey, Italy, United Arab Emirates, and Algeria. But it does have the highest per capita rate of deaths from COVID in Africa. It's got a much smaller population. But it's good at yin and yang, I'm afraid, in Tunisia.
Yeah, I mean, COVID notwithstanding, it sounds like they've got their head screwed on right. And frankly, even though you say they claim to be all of those things, they can factually say that they are African, North African, Arab. They're also partly European. I mean, there are probably a few Tunisians in Europe who would agree with that. So, I mean, all in all, it's an interesting place to pay attention to, and I'm glad that we got to mention them this morning. What about our friends in Ethiopia and that grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam that you've been telling us about for weeks now? What's going on there? Because it's nearing completion.
I always look up the dam because I know you like it, and yes. And you do rightly so, because it is going to be the biggest story in Africa for some time to come. The second filling of that reservoir behind what has already been built is nearly complete. This right. Ethiopia, woo woo, yeah, we're just about to start generating electric power. Well, downstream, the riparian country, Sudan and Egypt go into a deep, deep sulk on this one, because the water, they worry about their security, and they say that it will impact on their dams and water stations. And certainly there was an angry outburst from Sudan yesterday about this. You know, you're boasting about this, but it's going to affect us badly. Interestingly, the United Nations Security Council has been brought in. Now, Ethiopia has always said, you didn't talk to us about this while you were the colonial power, Britain. Suddenly everybody wants to talk to us about the Nile, which we've always had, and we've always had a right to. So, you know, take that, suck it up. The thing that they brought in the United Nations Security Council, who don't want to get involved in a water dispute.
Yeah.
They're about peace and security, and they don't want to get involved, but they were finally drafted in, and they said to you, the African Union, you're the guys. You should be mediating in this. Well, of course, we have been. African Union has. And as president of the African Union, Cyril Ramaphosa, our president, tried to mediate at one point. But the Egyptians and, not so much the Sudanese, but certainly the Egyptians said, no. You are pro-Ethiopia. Well, you know, feelings run very high at this time, so you don't have to do much to be seen as pro one side or the other in this. But the point is, it remains a very, very controversial issue, because there are other countries along the dam, along the Nile, who want to build dams. So this is going to make Ethiopia the largest producer of hydroelectric power on the continent, and it delights it. And Abiy Ahmed has serious other problems to deal with, not to mention Tigray and others. He's just had this landslide election victory, so he's a little bit buoyed at the moment. But the GERD, the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, is his sort of success story, and he's not going to give up on that. And there's nothing anybody can do, certainly not the United Nations. You know, what are they going to – the Security Council, the only group that can take affirmative action. What affirmative action can you take against building a dam?
I just heard
break it down.
You used the insider term GERD, the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. Is that what we're allowed to call it if we know what's going on, thanks to you? So we can say GERD and people will think we know everything?
Yes.
I would like to do that, yeah. So you can say Chev and Braai, meaning Chevrolet and Braai place.
Okay.
And that's good. It, yeah.
Now we can say good with impunity. We can be ready to have people go, excuse me, I don't mean to sound ignorant, but what is the good? And we can go, oh, you know, you need to listen to J.J. Cornish.
Then you say, do you not listen to Jean-Jacques Cornish, for God's sakes? <Yeah.
laughs> All right, J.J.
Well, that's obvious. Are you one of those turds that you can't polish?
I love it. Thank you so much, sir. It's always good to see you. Au revoir. We'll see you in a couple of days.
Very looking good. Forward to it.
There's J.J. Cornish. Africanalysis is brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School. You can join us every 2 weeks or so, where we check in with JJ and see what's going on the continent. The good. I like that.
If you haven't heard.
Good and turd. We've learned two really important things from JJ this week. Don't say it's always serious. All right.
One can't be polished and the other can't be mediated. That's how you tell the difference between the good and the turd.
Spot on. All right. When we come back, we'll find out whether people can swim on the coast of KZN yet. There's a lot of really new and valuable information coming through on that. And we'll also speak to Alex Schmidt, who is the this guy is a fantastic human being. He started a business, which is an online prescription and delivery service for sexual health. And I think that you're going to be interested to hear what he and the doctors who work with them are all about. That's coming up this morning, just after 7.
CliffCentral.com.